Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Movie Mastery. It's the podcast where we watch the movies that you recommend to us, but right now we are in the middle of a Marvel blockbuster summer. I am your host, John, and with me, as always, is Jeff.
Oh my God, John, I am so excited to bring people the hottest news about the most recent Marvel Universe movies.
That's right. We've got all the latest and greatest news.
Mm-hmm.
Why, did you know that the very Punisher has his own movie?
He has like three movies, I think, is the current status.
Yeah, but this is the original.
Yeah, this
back
is
when
the first
they were
one.
Just dipping their toe in it.
It's interesting to me that for a long time there, the Punisher had more movies than like every other Marvel character.
Yeah, I mean, by the time it was, what, when did
Blade
come out? 08?
Yeah, I think like 08. I'm not sure. I think Blade might have held the record before Punisher tied the record. Although I don't know for sure, because they both had three in a time where no one else had any.
It's true.
Yeah. Captain America had three as well. So there, I guess there's three characters, because Captain America technically had the one that we reviewed, the Reb Brown one, that could not have been more boring. Then
yeah.
Somehow a sequel to that one, also with Reb Brown. And then Finally the one with Matt Salinger, where he keeps stealing cars. So and all of those happened prior to, I want to say, 1995.
Yeah.
But it's, not... But
it's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I very much understand why you would do that with Captain America. I mean, not those specific choices of movies, because they were all terrible. But, like, I understand that you would, like, want to start with Captain America, because it's basically just, all right, buff guy with shield beats up Nazi. And they fucked that up three times.
Yeah, plus that first one was, like, 1978. It might have been, I mean, that was not the best of times for Marvel. It might have been that was the best they could do. Like, here's our best character and our best offering. It's Captain America. Look, America doesn't have Wolverine fever yet. And then for a long time, they just couldn't afford to make cool movies about cool people. So you ended up instead with, like, I don't know, how about a movie where a guy blam blam blams with nice cheap gunshots? The Punisher.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that you would go to the Punisher just like you would Captain America, given that this was, what, 89 when this came out?
Yeah, this is the 89 Dolph Lundgren Punisher we're covering today.
So with this one, you know, I get it because it's very nice and simple. You don't have to worry about, like, a lot of special effects or anything. You can pretty much just do a standard 80s action movie, but it's the Punisher.
No, yeah, this is 100% just a Cop on the Edge movie. It's just a regular-ass Cop on the Edge movie, except that occasionally the main character is referred to as the Punisher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in this movie, he doesn't get the skull shirt. He just has some little skull knives, which seems like it would be much harder to get than a skull shirt.
He seems to have an unlimited number of the skull knives, too. There's a point in the movie where they reveal, like, a drawer full of them.
And he's like, yeah, I got these skull knives and all these bullet casings. You're like, man, you got a lot of skull knives.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, it can almost feel like this movie wasn't even supposed to be The Punisher.
Yeah.
It was just Dolph Lundgren, Cop on the Edge. And they were like, well, hang on. What if instead of calling you, like, Jim Shooter, that's a Marvel Comics guy, isn't it? God damn it. That was entirely incidental. all right, well, I'm going to back. Instead of calling you Stanley Lee, let's, that's another Marvel. Instead of calling you Jack Kirby, what if we called you The Punisher?
I mean, I understand, again, that this is something that you could do, but it also feels very weird to me that, like, you would make this movie and it would be, I think this must have had the R, given the violence in it.
I have no idea. Yeah, I do not know the rating of this film off the top of my head.
Yeah,
that's the thing we'll have
up right now.
Yeah, that's the thing we'll have to hit on IMDb. It probably has the R, although I'm going to be honest, there's not a lot of immediate blood in the movie, so it could probably have gotten away with a PG-13, especially in 89. That was back when, the PG-13 had just come into existence at that time. It wouldn't surprise me at all to learn that this is a PG-13. Because back then, PG-13 was like, as much blood as you want, two tits, and a couple people can say fuck.
Just a couple.
That has since reduced significantly.
Man, yeah.
Can't find it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know this is supposed to take place in New York, but clearly takes place in Sydney.
Yeah.
And other than that, I watched it 2 days ago, and my memory is rapidly running away from me. Punisher looks like he's wearing like new wave music makeup. It's supposed to be that he's got like a 5 o'clock shadow, but I don't think Dolph Lundgren has one of those the way they wanted. And so they just drew gray shit on his face. And he looks like he's wearing a skull mask.
All right. You know what?
Yeah.
We're going to play a little bit of music. We're going to come back and see just how much we can recall about 1989's The Punisher. Welcome back to the show. We are ready to dive right into 1989's The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
We were ready. We're ready now. We certainly weren't ready like 30 seconds ago.
Well, I'm ready. I'm always ready. I was born ready.
Ah, I was born backwards.
Mr. Bindle.
Yeah. No, I'm all set to review this movie. It's not very interesting. It's a lot of mobsters and a lot of Yakuza, and for some reason, Dolph Lundgren's ass a couple of times.
Yeah, very true. We get some back of the Dolph Lundgren nudity shot for no reason. It's the same shot, just used twice, but boy, howdy, you get to see his butt.
They ADR in different dialogue over it twice, but it's the same swooping in shot of him copping a squat like he's just about ready to take a big old dumpus. Naked in front of a bunch of candles.
You know, just in case I forget for later, since you mentioned the whole ADR thing, there's a point in this movie where the Punisher is going to save some children. One of the children 100% sounds like an adult trying to do a child voice. And
true.
I'm almost certain it is, because every time this kid speaks, everyone else sounds like a kid, and this one's just like, "Hello, yes, we need to leave, Mr. Punisher."
Yeah, it's the little girl, isn't it? I think her name was Kathy in the movie. Yeah, she does. It's clear that they had like a little 5 or 6 year old girl. She probably couldn't hit the lines right, and so they just did a voice acting over job. And she does. She just stands like, "Oh, hello, I'm a child,
No.
I'm scared of drop bears, we are."
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so, I don't even remember if it opens on the naked shot, or if it, I think it opens on a bunch of mobsters getting murdered.
Well, I mean, the big thing is the opening credits to this movie go on and on, and it is just the same, like, circle moving towards you.
Yeah,
over and over again. And then it's just, like, stills from the movie, and then occasionally, like, Punisher has a shotgun and shoots it. And then a picture of a bad guy shatters like a mirror.
Yeah. We do this whole kind of concentric target ring thing where each ring expands outward and it's got a different gel overlay. So it goes red, green, blue, red, green, blue. And it's all just like pictures of alleyways and shit. And then, yeah, occasionally they'll show a still frame of one of the bad guys in the movie going like, "Ha!" Like he's in a commercial for home security. And then here comes the Punisher firing a gun at random.
And it's the exact same, like, small clip of Dolph Lundgren just taking a shotgun and going, "Bam!" And it's that clip over and over again, and just, oh, mirror shatter, some random thug. Mirror shatter, a guy with nunchucks we'll never see in this movie.
Yeah, no. I mean, don't worry, though. We do see a lot of exceedingly late 80s interpretations of the Yakuza.
Hell yeah, we do. That's basically this entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. I didn't think it would go with that, and yet here we are.
Oh, gosh. Here we are ever. Okay, so, after this interminable credit sequence, I believe it cuts right to some mafia-type guys having mafia-guy conversations.
Well, we get the explanation that the big mob boss has just been acquitted of any sort of wrongdoing or death stuff. Frank Castle and his family, even though at this point they were murdered like 5 years ago.
Yeah, and this guy's not even relevant, because this same scene happens twice in this movie, where they just have a guy walking out of a courtroom, and he's like, yes, yes, I've been acquitted. I'm a good person who's been acquitted, and I trust in the justice system. Well, aren't you afraid of Frank Castle, or the so-called Punisher? He's killed 125 mobsters. You listen here. I'm a reformed good guy, but if Frank Castle comes anywhere near me, me and the boys are going to fit him for cement galoshes.
Yeah, the whole thing is just like, oh, my security will punish him. He'll know the meaning of punished when I get through with him, I says to him, yeah. I says, Mabel.
And then we just go to his house, where for some reason, him and three of his goons walk in. I guess they must be best friends, because he's like, I'm going to go get the champagne. Louie, you know what this house needs? Some jamming tunes.
But first, I need you guys to go check the house out. You know, make sure no Punisher is in here trying to kill me.
Check the house for Punishers real quick. First, check those non-lethal Punisher traps. If we have,
yeah, we got those glue Punisher traps.
If we've caught any Punishers, we're going to take them out in the woods and let them go. The glue Punisher traps are the most cruel, because the only way to get the animal off, or the Punisher off of there, is to rip his feet loose. Horrific.
Now, I've got some glue solvent.
We're just looking for that little box trap where he walks in because there's a piece of criminal in the back. And then it slams shut on him. He's like, huh? What? Huh? Justice.
Oh.
Vengeance.
I was trying to get that justice.
Yeah, and then we just take it out and we let him loose in the woods, which is his natural environment. I mean, I'm not going to take too much concern over the fact that his full scientific name is the House Punisher. So one by one, Punisher kills all these guys. It's not even very interesting.
No, because these guys, oddly enough, given that when we first establish this mob boss, it's supposed to be like the big finale for him is where we're starting this movie, because like this is the mob guy that was behind the hit on Castle and that killed his family.
Yeah, but just like in the modern Punisher TV show, virtually every mob guy in town is involved enough for Punisher to want to kill them, because the actual relevant mob guy that's the main mob guy in the movie also apologizes for this event having happened to Castle.
Well, yeah, because he kills this guy, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and then that prompts the actual head of the family to come back from Europe. So, like, this was the head of, like, the regional manager, and now the whole district manager has to come back.
Yeah, this guy's one more guy is going to come in to regulate. Otherwise, this movie would be over real quick, because all that really happens is Punisher drops in through the ceiling and murders all these dudes, and we don't even see him murder the big guy. We just see the house blow up.
Oh, I thought he throws a knife into him.
Oh, does he? Okay.
He does that for everybody.
Yeah, he throws a knife into him, and then the house blows up. And for some reason, Punisher decides to go stand in the doorway of the burning house so the media can get a good look at him before he runs away.
Well, yeah, because he runs back into the house and then the house blows up. So he's like, oh, let's, I guess, fake my own death or something so that I can be done. Because this would be, like, in another film, sort of the climax of that. Because we don't get a real, like, backstory. We get a brief flashback of his family dying. But it's not like we have to go through the entire journey of like, oh, Frank Castle, normal guy, gets pushed over the edge and then he decides to become Punisher. We just start like 5 years afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, as soon as this scene's over, we get a brief, a couple minutes of the only other famous person in the movie. Well, sort of. Louis Gossett Jr., who's wandering around. Go ahead.
I was so excited to see him.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I don't know. All right, we're watching a Dolph Lundgren film. And then as soon as he showed up, I was like, oh, shit, look at that.
Hey, it's Louis Gossett.
I know you.
Yay. No, it's true. He is exciting to see. But he fits right into the mold of the Cop on the Edge movie from the 80s, because he's like, I'm a detective. I don't need no partner. I've been chasing the fucking Punisher for 6 years. I need an antacid. He just is that guy. He's the regular that guy. Right down to the point where a woman immediately approaches him and is like, hey, I'd like to be your partner. I don't work with a partner. I've always... Partners, like, they tend to get killed.
Why do you do Christian Bale Batman voice for this?
Because he did the Christian Bale Batman voice all the way through the movie, and I'm going to stand by that, because the only person who's seen this besides me is you, and who's going to take your word against mine? No one, asshole.
No one asshole, but many assholes might.
That's true. Together, through the power of the rings of Captain Planet, a bunch of assholes may take offense.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I remember seeing this on the fucking shelves of the Blockbuster back in the day, and I kept being like, I read comic books, I know who the Punisher is, I should watch this. It's sort of amazing that it is until now that I've seen this.
Yeah, the problem is when you do know the Punisher and you look at the way they've got Dolph Lundgren dressed in this movie on the cover of the film, your first thought is, oh, is he playing George Michael? Is that his character role? I mean, he's got like a big earring and that perfectly defined 5 o'clock shadow and a bunch of leather jackets with the collars popped. He looks like George Michael.
I mean, the one thing I will say for this is he looks more like Frank Castle than I would have imagined Dolph Lundgren as Frank Castle looks.
That's true. I mean, granted, it's a very young Dolph Lundgren, so that does add up. And I mean, who else have we had play the character? The current guy is flat out perfect. Well,
yeah, and then we had Thomas Jane,
and is the third one Dominic West? I forget. He was the bad guy in that. Oh, well, I'm not the best at naming Punisher actors. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a...
I'm so tired right now.
So, the whole thing with this is now that the new district manager of mafias is coming into town...
Mm-hmm. Oh, but that's great. He just gets off a plane. He's like, I've been in Italy for years.
And now I'm back. They're like, oh, is it because the previous head of the mafia is dead and you are here to be head of the mafia? And he's like, oh, ho, ho, no, I'm a legitimate businessman.
Yeah. Now, anyway, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to Crime Restaurant, an Italian family experience. By the way, John Bernthal and Ray Stevenson. It came back to me in a dream.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I felt really bad not being able to name probably the two best Punishers, because John Bernthal's amazing, and Ray Stevenson may not have mattered all that much in his movie, but he was the one in Warzone, which that movie fucking slaps.
Oh, yeah. This movie tries to sort of do the thing where you're like, oh, let's, you know, in media res, start with the Punisher already established, you know, try and just go immediately from it, but they still... We're like, there's no way we can just follow the Punisher because that's super fucking grim.
Well,
so we're going to have to make like Louis Gossett Jr. be a main character and then have a whole bunch of weird like mafia interplay subplots.
And they always do that. All the Punisher movies have the whole dumb, except for Warzone. Warzone's just like, nah, fuck it. The only new character we're introducing is an insane brother of Jigsaw named Looney Bin Jim, and you better believe he fucks shit up and then gets fucked up in turn.
Oh yeah, but Warzone 100% was just like, hey, did you want Punisher? Here's fucking Punisher. There you go.
Yeah,
done.
Warzone is easily the best idea for ever how to make a Marvel movie, which is hire someone who only had done like indie projects in another country until that point, and then just tell her, hey, make a Punisher movie. And then she, the brilliant Lexi Alexander, was like, all right, fuck it. And she went and bought a bunch of Punisher comic books, and she made exactly those.
Yeah, because everyone else is like, oh, I don't want to do too much comic book stuff. That seems like it wouldn't be correct. That's kind of silly. And she was like, nope, this is what the comic is, so fuck you, that's what you get.
Remember the fucking Thomas Jane one? It was all just him hanging around in a shitty apartment with a bunch of weird, bumbling comic relief roommates?
Again, because the movie was terrified of being like, well, we can't just follow Frank Castle, we have to have other people here.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing is all, and this movie almost hits the mark of just being like, fuck it, Frank Castle kills people all day long. But then they introduce a rescuing kids subplot, so it's not quite the gory excess that Warzone managed to get to.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll say this. I think it might be the second best
of the
Punisher movies.
Of the movies, it's definitely the second best, 100% for sure. If you factor in the TV show, you got to talk about the John Bernthal character, who was absolutely incredible as the Punisher. I don't even know how you could factor the TV show up against the movies.
Yeah.
And if you're counting the video games, then obviously the one where you can either play as the Punisher or Nick Fury is fucking incredible. Just good ass old arcade beat 'em up shit.
God, they made Nick Fury so fucking thick in that game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's the introduction of the video game version of Nick Fury, where anytime Nick Fury is playable in a video game, he's this big fucking ass clap motherfucker walking around yelling judo throw at the top of his lungs, and he is fucking amazing.
Oh yeah, dude has Chun-Li thighs in that game.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
any hoozles. That covers 15 minutes of not having to talk about this otherwise kind of rote movie.
Yeah. The entire plot now, though, is the newly arrived Europe boss is like, all right, here's my plan. I'm going to get all the families together. Since Punisher has basically just been murdering every family's people off indiscriminately, I'm going to go ahead and make it so that we all join forces into one Voltron family.
Mm-hmm.
I got like $500 million worth of cocaine coming in, and we're all going to split it as long as we all work together.
Yeah, it was like, and the worst part was his plan was like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to get a bunch of guys together from every one of the local crime families, and we're going to have them all work the same job. And now here's how I want to do it. I want the Gambinos working security. I want the Lucrezes working this. And it's like, no, man, you got to mix your forces or one of your groups is going to betray everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because at any point in time, if one whole family group has hold of the merchandise, you're like, oh, you're fucked. They're going to try and take it.
They're just going to fuck off. The moment they're like, oh, yeah, the Bambazzos having all the coke on the boat. Oh, what do you know? They left.
Weird. Who could have seen it coming?
$500 million is more than enough money for them to establish themselves in a different city, so fuck you, I guess? But yeah, he's got this big plan. His kid has... He gets to see his kid again, who'd been off at boarding school. And his kid can do magic tricks, which I kept expecting to matter, and it never does.
Yeah, he does the whole, like, oh, I got a coin, and it's disappeared. And I was like, oh, that's going to come back later. Somehow that's going to come back and matter. And it didn't, and I was angry.
Yep. Don't set that shit up unless you got a cool payoff coming at the end where he, like, reveals a grenade or some shit. What are you doing?
Yeah, don't be like, oh, this kid can do fucking magic tricks unless that matters. Because otherwise I'm like, well, what the fuck do I care if this kid does magic tricks?
Exactly. So this is the plan. There is a side character because Punisher always needs an informant. Usually it's Microchip. Sometimes it's Agent Madani. You never know. In this movie, it's a drunken Shakespearean actor who's so Shakespearean that his name is Shake.
Well, yeah. And also, because he's so drunk, you could say that he has the shakes.
Yeah, whenever
you
he's
see,
suffering from that
it
DT.
It works on so many levels.
Yeah, this character works on so many levels. He's irritating. He's drunk. His sentences rhyme for no fucking reason. So many levels.
I honestly didn't even realize that he was rhyming his sentences until probably about two-thirds of the way through this movie, and I was like, wait a minute.
Ah, oh, shit, this guy's a poet, and John doesn't even know it.
but yeah, Frank Castle has him to be like, all right, you weird old drunk, you're the person who knows stuff for some reason, although it seems like you shouldn't, because nobody likes you. Like, he gets thrown out of a bar the first time we see him, because the owner's like, no, you don't.
It's interesting because he doesn't try and steal anything, but he comes in and he hustles a random drunk for some money. You know, he's like, oh, yeah. Why don't you buy an old thespian a beverage or whatever, you know? And the guy's like, yeah, all right, I'll buy you a drink. I don't fucking care. And the bartender comes in and he's like, don't be scamming our customers for drinks. And I'm like, I don't feel like that was a scam necessarily.
Yeah, he wasn't like, oh, I've got a business proposition for you. He was like, hey, I don't have any money. Can you buy me a drink? And the guy went, yeah, okay. Like, there was no deceit here. Everyone was very upfront.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, he gets thrown out, and then he gets lured to the Punisher by a radio-controlled car with whiskey in the back of it. Why? Why are we...
Yep.
Why? I guess it's just to make fun of an alcoholic, is basically that gag. Because the Punisher could have just walked... I mean, it was like the range of a radio-controlled car away from this guy.
Yeah, but instead he was like, I'm going to fuck with him. I'm going to bring him over to this alley like 15 feet away from me with booze and a little remote-controlled truck because I'm an asshole.
Is that worth your time when you could instead like call him on... Because think about the time the Punisher has to spend to do shit like that. The Punisher of this movie lives in the sewers because everyone thinks he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, he was like, well, I better go buy a radio-controlled car and a bottle of hooch.
He's like, okay, and here's my plan. I'm going to bring both of these with me on my motorcycle when I go to meet him, because I'm pretty sure that he won't just meet me where I told him to meet.
Yeah, this is fucking crazy. I don't even know what the...
But he will meet me close enough to it.
Yeah, he'll meet me within the range of a Tyco RC car from 1988.
Ugh.
Well, here I am, the Punisher, having to buy D-cell batteries for this controller.
So, yes.
These prices are a crime.
Shake is the one who tells him, like, hey, fucking, there's a big old Coke deal coming into town at Pier 39 or whatever. You'd better go fuck them all up. All the families are going to be there. And he's like, cool, I'm going to go murder people. I'm the Punisher. Bye.
Yeah, I'm just going to go murder, like, so many people. Here's your hooch. And off he goes. And sure enough.
And it turns out when he gets there, he's got competition.
Yeah, because he gets there and already all these mafia guys are fighting amongst themselves. He's out there with a crossbow getting ready to murder them when, confusingly, a bunch of people in scuba gear show up and murder a bunch of people.
Yeah, you get a bunch of scuba ninjas show up, murder the people on the boat who were bringing in the product, and then murder everyone who was on the dock.
I like that these are, you know, spoiler alert, they're going to take off their scuba gear in just a second, but these are the Yakuza, and they apparently are out of throwing stars because they're just throwing, like, baseballs with spikes in them.
I loved that. I was like, oh, that's, all right, that's a thing. You can just throw, like, a baseball you put some spikes into. All right.
Why not? And they kill everybody on the boat so that they have all the coke, and then they sail away. After they murder a bunch more people.
I was going to say, they don't really sail away.
No.
They go to the harbor and murder everyone.
Yeah, they murder almost everybody. Punisher shows up and starts also murdering a bunch of people. There's a whole big complicated fight. The Yakuza steal a van that the coke is in, I think, and they drive away with it while Frank runs alongside them, shooting a shotgun at them to absolutely no effect.
Like, and then
he pumps so many...
he dies.
Yes. They pump so many shotgun blasts into this tank, or just this fucking van, that you're like, oh, I get it. It's like, but this is a Punisher video game, and this is just non-destructible terrain. But yeah, eventually they like fling him into the harbor and then throw a bunch of ninja stars and shoot a bunch of bullets at him, and they're like, he is definitely for sure dead down there.
Yeah, because they had hit him with, you know, a gunshot, and he got stabbed in the fucking shoulder with something, and because he didn't come up when they shot into the water... everyone believes he is now dead.
Yeah, I don't know why people constantly fall for that. You know, you can take a bucket of water and shoot into it, and the bullet will float to the bottom.
Yeah, shooting into the water after someone has fallen in there, you're like, what are you doing, man? Is this just to make you feel better? Is this like when you throw your gun after you're out of ammo?
I mean, if you're like in an airplane and you're strafing some diving survivors from a boat wreck, then you're probably going to get them because you're firing a large enough caliber that shoots fast enough that you'll luck out and hit one or two of them. But if you're like, I'm going to fire my pistol at that guy who's 10 feet underwater, you're fucking wasting your time. And your ammunition.
So yeah, at this point we get to find out that the Yakuza are in town and all of the mob bosses have met and they're like, oh... Gee willikers, do you know who runs this? Why, it's Lady Tanaka, and she's so vicious she killed her own brother because the Yakuza told her to. She loved her brother. She's got a white girl that follows her around for some reason.
The cast of the movie lists that character as her daughter.
Yes.
And I guarantee you that is not what that is. I mean, I'm not just saying because the white girl, it's a white girl following around, but also because they code Lady Tanaka as lesbian from start to finish. Go ahead.
The thing is, they say that she has, like, some American kid. So I don't think it's a, like, oh, this is the daughter I gave birth to. I think she's supposed to have, I guess, just, like, adopted her. But for having a character that's like, yes, this is my white daughter who is also mute.
Yeah, she
is also a badass martial artist.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but I mean, I actually do kind of appreciate the lengths they went to in 1989 to code this character is obviously gay. They constantly have other Yakuza ladies hanging off of her. She's always just sort of doing geisha and dancing in her private house, and the art behind her whenever she's in the Japanesey parts of her house is always like old woodblock Japanese porn, but it's lesbian stuff.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite part of that in particular is that you see they just took old actual woodblock art of Japanese, like old 18th century porn, and then they drew underwear on the characters. Because when you look, you see they have like beige modern underwear on for some reason. You're like, how the fuck did that happen? Don't worry about it. They're having PG-13 sex now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're rated R, but not for this.
Not like this. Okay. So yeah, it's our main villain Franco, who I kept hearing Franco. His name's like Tommy Franco or something, and thinking
Johnny Franco,
and I kept being like, oh, is that Billy Russo? Are we dealing with a Billy Russo situation? No, obviously. Why would you put another character from The Punisher in a Punisher movie?
Yeah, I think, like, unless you really want to do Jigsaw, for some reason, Punisher just doesn't get anybody else comics.
It's because he fucking kills all of them.
Well, yes. Having a recurring Punisher villain is like, I don't know, the Kingpin. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a good job on that second season of Daredevil by introducing that military commander who had been his Marine CO. Mm-hmm. And that is an existing Marvel character, too. I'm pretty sure Clancy Brown playing him. He was good. But yeah, this movie, it's Johnny Franco, just a random Italian mobster played by the guy who was the villain in a Bond movie once. I'm not the best at Bond movies, but I'm fairly certain it's a Timothy Dalton one. He was the villain in, I think, in The Living Daylights.
Yes. And also, he was in The Fugitive. Good for him.
Oh, this guy gets some work.
Yeah. Like, three works.
No, I'm gonna guess if you were to look up his IMDb page, you'd probably find, like, 300 different German movies. Because his name is Jerome Krabbe.
Oh, yeah. No, he's in a lot of German TV.
Yeah.
You know, like, Der Mann mit der Hammer.
If only I spoke enough German to piece together what that meant.
True. It's so sad that we don't know German.
I think it sounded like the man meat, the hammer, which...
Ah, the man meat, the hammer.
I'd watch that.
I know you would.
Of course, that's because I'm coded that way. Okay, so... So our villain Franco has explained to all the other mob bosses or what family people why they should be afraid of this lady when she walks in, and oh boy, does this start the kind of stereotypy problem of this movie?
There's a lot.
I mean, if you want to guess at the fourth word out of this character's mouth, this lady Snaka's mouth, is honor, then good job. You sure guessed it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of like. We gotta get as just yellow panicked as possible about this shit.
I mean, she literally walks in on them with, you know, she's got a metal fingernail on attachment on one side, and she's constantly wearing geisha makeup, even though that's not just a thing that Japanese people do to be scary. And yeah, she walks in on their meeting, and she's like, "Gentlemen, it is honorable to meet you." And it's like, oh, come on. Didn't anyone learn anything from Rising Sun? Of course not.
No one did. No one learned anything. But yeah, she's got a proposition for them where she's like, look, all of your families are crippled. You all suck ass. We're very powerful. So we're in charge now. And if you agree to that, we will take 75% of everything and you will take 25% and you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And of course, everyone's like, no. And one guy, obviously, because this is... you know, just a lady, he stands up and he's like, I'm not taking that from no 1940s Japanese slur. And he walks over near her to just sort of menace at her, and she immediately just flips him over sideways and, like, threatens to kill him.
Yeah, just breaks his wrist and is like, all right, well.
He's like, how the hell did you do that? She's like, all right, look, while you guys were still, like, inventing the printing press and shit, we had already been the lords of Asia for 1,000 years, so we're very good at this.
We know... how to crime. Mm-hmm. So deal with it.
Yeah, granted, that's just some bravado, but whatever. So she's like, well, if you will not take my deal, then you will take my deal for a different reason. I have already put pieces in place to ruin your very lives.
Yes, I will have the leverage I need over you. And they steal all the mob boss's kids.
Yeah, good thing every mob boss had some kids.
Yeah, and like a lot of them.
And all the same age, within like 3 years of each other.
Yeah, we see that there's, what, like 5 total mob bosses, including Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And they steal like a room full of kids.
Yeah, yeah. They just take everybody's kids one by one, pushing them into vans and stuff. And they fill a little warehouse with kids. And now, of course, all the mob guys are on, like, a back footing, and they're like, well, what do we have to do? Well, we have to fight them to get our kids back.
Yeah, we gotta go to war.
Yeah. And Frank is just hanging around on the sidelines for most of this, being like, well, if they go to war, I'll definitely kill every last one of them.
Well, yeah, after he had killed off, you know, the guy who was directly responsible for the death of his family, he was like, well, I'm done. And it takes Shake being like, hey, so you know how you murdered, like, just a fuck ton of mafia dudes? Well, now the Yakuza moved in because you did that, so it's your fault. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, fuck he doesn't give a shit. But ultimately, he will give a shit because he's the Punisher, and he has to punish the guilty, and the Yakuza count as guilty, too.
Well, he has to give a shit because they stole children, is the thing.
Well, that's the thing. No,
and he's like, I had kids, now I am invested.
Shake has to talk him into giving a shit about the kids. Like, he's like, I'm going to go kill everybody because they're all guilty of being criminals and doing crimes. And Shake's like, you can't just wander in and murder everybody. They have a bunch of child hostages. And he's like, so? Well, you know, you're Frank Castle and you have that kid thing. And he's like, God damn it. And that's pretty much, it's unusual that there's a point where he's like, hey, would you like to go face all these mafia people moving in on town? He's like, I only care about Italian crimes.
I mean, I guess if they really wanted to establish that he's like, no, I really only cared about anyone who was remotely related to what happened to my family, and now I've killed them all, so I don't give a shit anymore.
That wouldn't fly, because the first thing he does when he actually has a conversation with Johnny Franco is Franco's like, hey, I'm sorry about what happened to your family. I would have done it differently if I hadn't been overruled.
You know, had I been here, I wouldn't have done it that way, but, you know.
I guess Frank's like, oh, yeah, well, as long as you were on vacation, you're not guilty of being a mob part of the mob family that killed my kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was in Italy. How could he do anything?
Right. That's exactly where Frank Castle draws the line.
Yeah. Look, if you were on vacation, you're fine.
Okay. So at this point, I kind of get lost. I feel like Frank goes to try and rescue the kids, and there's a bunch of back and forth while, first, we get a couple scenes of Lady Tanaka menacing the children.
Well, yeah, we've got a few things that happen because at this point, Frank is just going to sort of trade hands like a collectible because he's going to go try and save the kids. But it turns out the information he got for where they're being held was actually a trap. And oh no, the Yakuza get him. And, you know, they're going to like torture him and try and get him to talk about, I don't know, who sent him because they don't know who the fuck the Punisher is.
Yes.
And, you know, he's the Punisher, so he doesn't give a shit about torture.
Yeah, this is the Yakuza. Yeah, the Yakuza get him. They put him on a stretching rack, which is a weird choice. And for some reason, they also know that he is connected to Shake, and so they kidnap Shake and put him on the rack next to him?
Well, yeah, because Shake was essentially going with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I could go in and help. And he's like, no, you're an idiot and drunk. Don't.
Yeah.
But I guess they just sort of found him hanging around by his bike.
Oh, that's right. That is okay. All right. Sorry. It's been a couple days and they were not good days. Okay. So.
Yeah. So he manages to get out from there after, you know, essentially tricking one of the captors into coming close to him so he can strangle him and shoot him and take the gun and whatnot. But like at that point, he gets the information for, all right, now I know where the actual warehouse is with the kids.
Right.
So now I can go save the kids.
Yeah. And while he heads off to do that, the Yakuza leader, Lady Tanaka, goes off to murder all the mob boss family guys.
Yeah, she had presented them with the whole like, hey, this is actually for ransom, and if you pay up for your kids, then I'll give them back to you, mm-hmm. which was bullshit.
Yeah.
And Johnny even is like, hey, there's no way she's going to actually just take some money and give our kids back. She's going to murder them and you. And all the other mob guys are like, yeah.
Yeah, amusingly, her plan isn't to murder the children. It's to sell them into slavery. That keeps coming. She's
kids
constantly,
into slavery is expensive.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, children are very valuable. And I'm like, they're also very, very hard to sell correctly. But whatever you say.
Yeah, I mean, you lined up buyers real fucking fast for that.
She sure did. But yeah, her plan to kill the mob boss guys is unnecessarily convoluted.
The thing that happened in that scene is literally the exact opposite of what I thought was happening, because there's, you know, an Italian restaurant where these gangsters are at, and, you know, they're having a drink and waiting, and then she shows up.
And notably, and then, the guy whose arm she broke earlier in the movie doesn't have a drink because he's on pain meds for his broken arm.
Yeah. And so when she comes in, all of the fucking, like, patrons at the restaurant stand up, pull guns, and kill all of the mafia, like, security guys.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure it was going to be the other way around, where the mafia guys were like, oh, it's an Italian restaurant. Obviously, every single person in here is under our thumb and one of our people.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, every single person in there is under her thumb and one of her people. And she's managed to recruit a very eclectic group of people in her short time in town. There's, like, a lot of old ladies in her employ.
Yeah, there's a bunch of old ladies, some weird white guys with too big a mustache.
Yeah, she's really been working hard on the recruiting front. And sure enough, they are now holding all of these mob boss guys completely hostage. And then she walks up and she's like, by the way, I have already killed you. And they're like, oh no, you poisoned our champagne. No, I poisoned the glasses. And it's like, that's too many twists. There's been too many twists already.
You need to chill out with this shit. Why would it even matter what you poisoned or why you would poison them? You very clearly could have just opened fire on them at any point in time and killed them.
You didn't even need to come in here. And the poison that she put on the glasses, I'm sure that this isn't the case, but it looks like it's the case in the movie. It's sound activated because she picks up one of the glasses and is like, no, I poisoned the glasses. And then she starts doing that thing where she, like, runs her finger around the rim so it makes a noise. And at the sound, the sound seems like a starting gun for them to all go, eh, our necks, eh, ah. And right after they all die, she's like, and now I'm done doing this thing with the glass. And I'm like, okay, so you set six ambushes for them at once, and all of them were unnecessarily ridiculous.
Yes. And even all that, and the one guy who was on pain meds and couldn't drink was like, all right, well, I'm still here. And she's like, well, I guess I'll just shoot you in the mouth then.
She just shoots him. Oh, of course, her daughter or whatever throws, she has throwing earrings that she takes off and throws several times in the film. And she uses a pair of earrings to stick that guy's hands to a wall so that he's held still.
Yep, because that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And now here we are. All that's left is Franco, a bunch of missing children about to be sold into slavery, and also Frank. So it's Frank and Franco.
Yeah. Now, because the Punisher got out and knows where the actual warehouse is, he goes and steals a bus,
mm-hmm.
takes it to the warehouse where the kids are, and he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go rescue all these kids and get them on a bus.
Then I'm going to kill myself because stealing is a crime.
That's not.
Well, I know. He's not Peacemaker.
And also, you know, murder's a crime, so you'd think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what it is. Frank works off Catholicism rules. Are you trying to commit suicide? I'll kill you.
So, yeah. He gets there, manages to get most of them, but they had taken off a little girl and Johnny Franco's kid
mm-hmm.
from the main group. The little girl, because
Buyer
Tanaka needed to be more, you know, menacing.
Oh, and that's
so
right.
So she was
yeah.
like, oh, come with me, little girl. No more tears now. Have a sweet.
Yeah, and then Franco's kid, because he tried to help the little girl.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, I'm going to attack these guys. And they're like, all right, well, fuck you.
Yeah, so Frank goes in, rescues all the kids, put them in the bus, goes back in, gets to the other two kids, puts one of them on the bus, is handily fighting off the bad guys all by himself, when for no reason Franco's kid runs back in, is like, I'll help you, the Punisher, I'm 8, and just gets knocked unconscious and kidnapped again.
Yeah. So he's like, well, you know, most of the kids isn't too bad. I'll get the fuck out of here with all but one of them.
Yeah, and then we have an exciting bus chase as random people, or random Yakuza guys in SUVs try to knock him off the road, and he just keeps being like, fuck you, I'm in a school bus, and smashing them into pieces.
Yeah, and then there's a police blockade, and he's like, oh, great, perfect. I will not smash through it. I will just let the kids out with the police and then give myself up. So now we've traded over from being in the hands of the Yakuza to now being in the hands of the police.
Yeah, he gives the... But interestingly, it's interesting to me that he's like, I guess this is it. I got to give myself up to the police. And that is indeed what happens. And that's mostly just so we can finally have some scenes between him and Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, yeah, because the whole thing is Louis Gossett Jr. is playing his old partner, and Frank, like, helped drag him out of the bottle when he was, you know, at his lowest. And so, you know, he owes Frank his life, and he's been trying to help him, and he wants to figure out what's going on, and Frank just won't let him in.
Yeah, you gotta let me in, Frank. I want to help you. But, you know, you got 125 counts of murder on you. So, and I'm like, at a certain point, he used to be like, yeah, you know, I have 125 counts of murder on me. There's nothing I could say that would be useful to
you. What am I going to do, huh?
Yeah.
Be like, oops.
It was 125 counts of self-defense. Sorry.
So, yes. He,
I guess you could say I killed them all under the accordance of the castle doctrine. But yes, though.
Yeah, but no.
I'm taking it. I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back.
But then when they try to move him from police custody to actually getting, you know, into prison and getting tried, he gets kidnapped again, and now he's taken by the fucking mafia guys.
Yeah, this is definitely...
he just keeps trading hands.
This is a Punisher who gets kidnapped.
Yep. This is the Punisher who just keeps getting got.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Franco now, who has kidnapped him, and he's like, hey, look, I know you hate me, but you gotta help me rescue my kid. You're the only person who possibly could. And Frank's pretty straightforward with him. Yeah, sure, I'll help you rescue your kid. The moment your kid's rescued, I'm gonna kill you.
And he's like, well, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, so now...
But I've got your old partner here, and so don't try anything stupid, or I'll kill old Jake here.
Yeah, and then he offers Frank some nice friendly body armor in this trying time. And Frank is like, no, I don't need body armor. Although, traditionally, the Punisher does wear that. Whatever.
Yeah, don't matter.
Who care? And, and now it's time to raid Lady Tanaka's surprisingly red penthouse geisha performing hall slave sale place Japanese style ryokan fortress house.
Oh, yeah. Like, you get past the business center... And then you have to just go through a gauntlet of like, all right, here's the kendo studio.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the entire place where we do geisha dancing. Here's where we have piano and ballet lessons.
Yeah, here's the room full of paper walls that are dimly lit in red so you can throw goons through them.
Oh, well, it's only red then because they cut the power.
Ah, that's right. The emergency lights are on.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on with that because... They have Shake be like, hey, here's a little thing I put on the, like, power box.
That was weird.
And after 5 minutes, press this button,
yeah,
and it'll blow the lights. And after 15, press this button, it'll blow everything else.
Yeah, and what happens is Shake presses the first button after 5 minutes, and the lights turn from on to red, which is not that big of a change. And then 15 minutes later, when he's supposed to press the one that blows everything up, he screams and shoots a gun down a sewer. I don't know what the fuck that was.
But, I mean, it hits the button, and it blows up like what it was supposed to.
Oh, was it supposed to be that he got attacked or something and dropped the sewer?
Oh, no, it's that he was drunk and dropped it into the sewer. Oh,
okay, so he sobers up just enough to shoot it once.
Well, yeah, because he has a knife,
mm-hmm,
so the first time he presses the button, he, like, reaches down and can barely touch it with the knife's end, but then he loses the knife.
Right, yeah, okay.
And then for the 15-minute one, he has to shoot it because, as we all know, after watching Nick Fury, shooting something makes it work.
Yep, that's a traditional old Marvel storyline. And while Franco and Frank are raiding the Yakuza Fortress... Louis Gossett Jr. just uses the old I have to pee trick into beating up mafia guys and escaping, amusingly taking their pizza with him.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, good, guy shows up with pizza, you knock him out, and then you're like, I'm taking a fucking slice of the pizza.
I need a slice, god damn it. I've been tied to a chair for a while. I deserve a fucking slice.
I'm a treat myself.
In fact, I'm going to take two. So, basically, Castle has to fight a bunch of people, and then a couple of better people, and then one really good person, and then Lady Tanaka, who he doesn't...
Yeah.
He just throws a knife at her, so that's the end of her.
Well, yeah, the entire confrontation with Lady Tanaka is Johnny Franco gets there first, and she's got his kid,
mm-hmm,
and she's like, all right, here's the thing. I've got a knife to your kid's throat. If you get on your knees and put your gun in your mouth and kill yourself... I'll let your kid go.
And he's like, well, what assurance do I have you do? None. I'll probably just kill your kid. But you've got a chance.
And he's like, all right, well, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, also, by the way, just to make sure you know exactly how racist this is, she's in full geisha gear for this.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
100%.
She's not a geisha. She's a Yakuza boss.
Yep.
They're just like, well, what do Japanese women dress like? Oh, they got that white stuff on their face, and they're constantly doing a weird dance.
Yeah. It'll make her look creepy. Let's do that.
Let's just definitely do that for sure. Can we get her head into that? Can we get her hair into that geisha haircut? You better believe it.
So, you know, Johnny puts the gun in his mouth, and then Castle comes bursting through and throws his signature skull knife into the head of the Lady Tanaka.
Yeah.
And then it's time for Frank Castle to duke it out with Johnny Franco in his best Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. Don't forget, we shouldn't set aside the scene where he fights the daughter as well. He has a long, complicated fight with the ninja daughter, who never once in the entire fight has the upper hand. She's just desperately trying to get away from Castle, who's got her in a headlock. So it just looks like he's just murdering a woman.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean,
they kind of set her up throughout the whole movie to be like, oh, this is the super badass. Like, this is the number two in charge, and she's the most dangerous person here. And then she manages to, like, cut Frank with her stupid ass earrings, and then after that Frank's just like, well, I'm gonna murder you now.
Yeah, he just reaches out and grabs her by the neck, and sure, she spends a lot of time pulling knives out of everywhere and trying to stab him with them, but there's no point in the rest of the fight where they're ever on even footing. He's just got her by the neck, and eventually he snaps her neck.
Yep. it's a very anticlimactic fight.
Yeah. So that all happens, and then yeah, Frank's all beat up and half dead, so he's lying on the ground. And Franco can't pass up this opportunity, so he sends his son out of the room, and he's like, okay, well, now I'm going to gloat for a while, and then I'm going to kill you, Frank Castle.
Yeah, but his kid's like, no, don't. That's the dude who has now twice saved me.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously what happens is he tries to kill Castle, can't. Castle kills him, and then
he gets that wonderful scene with the kid where he's like, yeah, kid, come on, do it. Kill me.
Maybe.
Kill me, kid. Put the gun to my head.
Maybe you'll be the one.
All right. You didn't have it in you, and that's okay, because you're a good kid, and you can grow up to be a good man. But if you don't, I'll be coming back for you.
Yeah. And that's more or less the end of the movie. Louis Gossett Jr., having escaped, cleans up the mess at the Yakuza front. He catches Shake for a second, who quickly escapes and runs away again. And he and his partner never quite figure out whatever the hell was going on. And then we just get a repeat of the naked Dolph Lundgren shot.
Well, yeah, we just get more of the, you know, Punisher inner monologue, like war journal stuff, where he's like, I still talk to God and ask him if what I'm doing is right or wrong, but he doesn't answer, so I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, just traditional beginning and end of any given Punisher comic crap.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, outside of Warzone, because of the glorious, ridiculous, squishy excess of it, I feel like Punisher, more than most Marvel characters, needs to exist in a universe of Marvel characters.
Yeah.
Because he's only interesting if there's other heroes around who are, like, judging his dumb bullshit.
Yeah, the Punisher as a solo property of just this exists by itself is, I mean, especially when you watch it nowadays and you're like, this is just a cop decides to murder people and we should be fine with it.
Yeah.
And it does not play as well these days as you might think.
And sure, Marvel has more than once been like, look, even the Punisher doesn't want cops to be like him. He gets mad when he sees those Punisher signs on cop cars and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter, because ultimately his whole story arc is, you know, he's a guy who got pushed past the edge because his family got murdered, and he was like, for the rest of my life, I'll just murder anyone I think needs murdering. And I've never thought he works all that well as a solo character. You really need a Daredevil or a Captain America or someone to be like, you fucking suck, Frank.
You are the actual worst.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's just the thing I wanted to get out there, because it always bugs me when I see solo Punisher movie. And usually the way they get around it is they just lighten him up. Like, the Thomas Jane movie was pathetic in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only is he just, you know, Thomas Jane's portrayal of him is much more subdued than you probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got his shit together way more than you would expect the Punisher to have his shit together.
He goes to a dinner date in that movie.
Yeah, you're like, no, No.
Yeah, so, anyway.
I'll give him that, at least in this. Lundgren plays it full on just like, no, I'm dead inside, and I'm just killing people until I get killed. That's all there is.
Yeah, no, this is a reasonably good... I hate to say it, because I was really expecting this movie to be bad, and in almost every other respect, it is. But the portrayal of the Punisher is pretty good in this.
I was going to say, I think Lundgren did an actual decent job in this movie.
Yeah, me too. I would have liked to see this with, you know, a bit more money and directors and, like, other comic book shit thrown in behind it. That's always a problem in these 80s superhero movies, is that they get the access to the superhero, and they're like, good enough. I want for nothing. Do you want to use his primary villain? No, that would be comic booky.
Yeah, god damn it. And to this day, we are still trying to get to the point where people will be like, yeah, hey, DC, actually let comic book people be comic booky.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've kind of... Aquaman and Shazam are pretty much the moment where they were like, ah, fuck it, yes, sure, fine. You can put Aquaman in the orange and green outfit and have him run around summoning fish. It's great.
Yeah, see, as long as you don't let Snyder touch your dumb bullshit, maybe you can have something fun.
Oh, just think, John, that Snyder cut's a-coming, and he made it so that Steppenwolf doesn't have a face, so he looks more like a CGI video game.
Yeah, and also, definitely, Darkseid looks like a villain from Quake 2.
Yeah, my favorite gag about that is that Darkseid looks exactly like the cover art on a box with a video card in it.
Yes.
So, I'm not excited about that. They broke it up into 4 one-hour movies. I don't know what to expect, other than that he already said that, yes, I'm desaturating the shit out of it, because fucking Whedon made it colorful, that piece of crap.
How dare.
And if there was ever a thing to call Joss Whedon a piece of crap about, it wasn't that. There are plenty of other ones.
All right. Let's get into our best and worst for this movie. Jeff, go ahead. Give me your best thing in this movie.
It's definitely Dolph Lundgren's portrayal of the Punisher. He plays him, like, just like John said, completely dead inside, just a machine of killing. There's no scene in the whole movie other than that insanely weird radio-controlled truck scene where he has a comedy relief or anything. He's just, look, I'm the Punisher. I'm here to murder people. I'm going to murder people.
Yep.
There's, of course, a weak link in that dumb radio-controlled truck part, but other than that, dead on, very good portrayal. Really wish they'd let him have the skull shirt. John, your favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's the same. I will go ahead and throw out Louis Gossett Jr., very good actor, does a good job in this.
Doesn't get enough to do.
Yeah, it's not like he has a big role. It's mostly just him trying to find Frank while Frank does his stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least in the one scene they actually have together, it's a good scene.
Yeah, it is.
Where he's trying to be like, come on, like, give me something. And Lundgren's just sort of slumped against the wall like, no, I have nothing. I am just dead inside.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is great. This is what you want from this interaction.
If you want to know anything about me, it's splattered on the wall of every Italian restaurant in town, all right? That's all that's all there is to me. And I like that portrayal. I feel like I think we're going to say our least favorite thing is the same on this one, too. I feel like almost for sure.
I mean, almost for sure.
Because I'm going to say that it's all the racism shit associated with the Yakuza.
Which is great.
It's so over the top. Like, they just couldn't figure out a way to incorporate a little subtlety in their Japanese characters. And we're like, nah, fuck it. There isn't any.
Fuck you.
Every stereotype at once. Who cares? She's a geisha ninja with, for some reason, a white lover daughter. Don't worry about it.
It's all fine.
She says honorable a lot. Yeah, it's not great. So I'm going to say that's my least favorite thing. Not her portrayal. She's fine. She plays an interestingly menacing villain, all right, and everything. But just the choices made in the way they present the Yakuza are just garbage.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's me. What about you?
I mean, obviously that. But aside from that, god damn, that ADR adult trying to do a kid's voice still just fucks with me every time I think of it.
Oh my god.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Punisher. Yeah. You've saved me.
Yeah, that's Kathy, the little tiny girl who gets separated and rescued. And it's pretty clear they just couldn't get the 5-year-old to work for the voice work.
But they couldn't find another kid to do the voice because it is very clearly an adult doing an affectation.
You'd think they'd just pull her into a booth at the end and be like, okay, here's what I need you to say.
Nope.
Just say, thank you, Mr. Punisher.
No, we're going to get one of the people that we have around here just to be like, hey, Marv, get in here. Oh, thank you, Mr. Punisher.
Maybe it was just the woman who played Lady Tanaka's daughter, and that's why she doesn't have any lines. It would have been confusing.
There you go. Let's go ahead and give our ratings of the movie. We're both going to give it a rating 0 to 5, which will give it a rating out of 10. Jeff.
Classic 2.5. This movie is dumb, a little too long, very repetitive, but it's the kind of movie where you can sit down and watch it and not be like really angry. You'd be like, ah, some of these portrayals are okay, so sure, why not? Classic, yeah. Middle of the road 2.5. You?
I agree. It is very classically a 2.5. Mm-hmm. It is very 80s action movie, which means both you've got a whole bunch of, you know, ridiculous action scenes and explosions and gunfights, and also, ooh, just a little bit of racism and misogyny and homophobia.
Yeah. Just a tiny bit too much of all of those things for it to really make it above that halfway mark.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, hey, yeah, I see. I see what was going on here.
You know,
this was in the 80s.
I don't remember seeing anything I counted as homophobia. Yes, they code her as a lesbian, but they definitely don't make it that her weak spot or anything like that.
It's the French people bringing the drugs in.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Good point. Very good.
Yeah. There's a lot of whole gay slurs going on there.
Yes, there are. Thank you for reminding me.
There you go.
5 out of 10.
Yep, just sort of a generic ass fucking action movie from the 80s. There are better ones you could see. It's not really getting anything out of the Punisher, like being there, because you don't get any special effects stuff. You don't get any Marvel stuff. He could have been named anything else.
Yeah, not even a reference. Like, I kept expecting, there's a scene where when he steals the bus, there's still one old drunk guy on the bus with a white mustache and a big pair of glasses and a ball cap, and he comes up and he's like, hey, I missed my stop because of you. And the Punisher pulls over and gives him a bus ticket, and he's like, ah, thank you. And I was like, oh, fuck, is that the Stan Lee cameo? No, it's a wasted not Stan Lee when it could have been.
Yep, I had the exact same reaction to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, wait a minute, is that... Oh, no, it isn't.
No, it certainly isn't. Why wouldn't it be? It would have made perfect sense for that to just be the moment where you... I guess because Stan Lee didn't want to go to fucking Sydney.
All right, so there you go. Thank you so much for joining us for our continuing review of shitty-ass old Marvel movies.
Are we still going? Do we have one more in the tank, or are we done?
I don't know. We might be done. I might be done.
Because I can name, right off the top of my head, at least 4 more shitty Marvel movies that fit into this conceit just fine.
Oh, I know. But also, I don't know.
Don't make... Okay, fine. As long as we hold this open for if pandemic keeps going so that we can watch Generation X, because fuck if we don't watch Generation X at some point.
So we will be back in another couple weeks with some more movie mastery. If you want to support us, you like what we do here, you can go over to patreon.com/systemmastery. We've got a bunch of bonus content there at all sorts of different levels. But right now, if you sign up at the $5 level, you unlock our TV mastery, where right now we are going through season 1 of Smallville, and we will be going through a whole bunch of dumbass shows that suck. Mm-hmm. And reviewing them.
Yep. Sometimes 2 episodes at a time because they're so bad that there isn't enough to say about one.
So yeah, go over to patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us. Even if you don't go up to the $5 level, anything helps us out. And of course, every level on there unlocks some bonus content for one of our shows. So you're getting something no matter what.
Yep, absolutely.
And access to our Discord stuff. You can get on there for free. But you get, you know, Discord perks.
There's bonus rooms and colors and shit like that to let people know that you've got more money to throw at us than other people do, I guess. I shouldn't even say it that way because we had a long history of not giving a shit who in there does what.
Yeah. It's mostly just, hey, I can go into the, you know, donor rooms.
Yeah. That's the one thing you get. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm going to take over John's job. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Go ahead.
And good night. All right. We'll see you in another couple weeks. Until then, you have a good one.